It's really great to be here. It's just one of those inspiring moments, coming in and just seeing your amazing building, having spent 15 years building church in loads of different venues, from community halls to schools to theatres. For you guys to have this great venue is just absolutely amazing. So just being inspired by that, inspired by some of the reports back of healing, which is brilliant. Some of the words that have come out this morning as well has been absolutely brilliant. And I've also been totally inspired by James's beard. That is a beast hanging off his chin. And I feel totally inadequate in comparison, to be honest. But I'm inspired. I'm going to go home. I'm going to double my efforts. And hopefully one day I too can have such a wonderful thing protruding off my face. I'm here with my wife, Danny, just at the front there. We've got two kids. We've got an 19-year-old, better get that right, especially with my wife being on the front row. 19-year-old, she's studying at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries in Reading in California at the moment. So she's flown the nest, which is always a bit of a oh thing. But she's having a great time over there, and I know God's just going to really use her and equip her for her future. And we also have a 16-year-old son. The grief I'm going to get later. 16-year-old son, and he's literally just finished his GCSEs and is going to be studying business at college. So huge changes for us as a family, and but we just know God's in the middle of all of that. And we also just feel totally honored to be able to come here and just share some of my thoughts towards you guys, and just some of the things that God's placed on my heart when it comes to moving forward and being supernaturally natural when it comes to evangelism. We love evangelism. I personally think it's what we're born for. We're born to share who God is in our world, in our places where God has placed us. And so I want to just hopefully inspire you this morning with some things that perhaps God can use and allow you to take into your world, into the place where you do life. And the first thing that I want to say is this, that God always uses the natural in a supernatural way. Often when you look through the Bible, you don't see many kind of totally new things that God does. But what God does is he takes hold of the natural, and when it goes and it's placed into his hands, supernatural things start to take place. For example, look at the cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the desert and gave them direction. The cloud isn't supernatural. We know that in the UK, right? Cloud isn't supernatural when there isn't a cloud. I woke up this morning and thought, what an amazing day. I can actually see that blue thing in the sky. But clouds isn't supernatural. But yet when God takes hold of a cloud, he does supernatural things with it. It's a little bit like mud. I love the Jesus and the mud scenario when a blind guy goes up to Jesus and wants healing, and Jesus looks at him. And I can imagine if it was me being the guy who's wanting healing, I'd be going, well, just a nice little pat on the head or a little pray would be fantastic. I've heard you do amazing things, and perhaps if you just speak over me, that would be brilliant. So the fact Jesus then spat in mud and took hold of that mud and rubbed it in the guy's eye. I mean, I'd be like, you've got to have guts to do that, don't you? You've got to know that God's in this, otherwise you're going to get nicked. And Jesus takes hold of the mud and the spit, the very naturalness of the earth, and he puts it into this guy's eyes. And guess what? God does something supernatural, and the guy can see. Because God uses the natural in supernatural ways. Because people can relate to the natural. People can relate to what is naturally around them, what the natural earth produces. But when the naturalness comes into the hands of God, that's when you can see God working through what others would just see as being normal. People can relate to it, but they can see God through it. And today what I want to look at is Moses. And Moses is a very natural person. And God wants to use us as natural people in supernatural ways in our world and in our lives to see people come into a relationship with him. And Moses is in this place. You know the story of Moses, many of you will. He was a prince of Egypt, and then he decided to take things into his own hands. He beat up a slave driver. He got kicked out, and he becomes a shepherd. And at 80 years of age, we see him in Exodus 3, we see Moses walking around the desert, Looking after his father-in-law's sheep. How many of you know if by 80 the only thing you can do is look after your father-in-law's sheep, your life hasn't gone particularly well? And a shepherd in those days was like the lowest form of job. It was terrible. And normally you gave it to the youngest son. Normally you gave it to the young lads who kind of, you didn't have anything else for. Go and look after the sheep. Go on, off you go, son. But for Moses, at 80 years of age, having come from being a prince of Egypt, suddenly found himself in a place where he's having to look after sheep. And he comes across the bush in Exodus 3. He comes across this bush, and this bush begins to speak to him. They say it's the bush that burns and it never went out. And the bush begins to speak to him. What an incredible moment. After 40 years of seeing nothing take place in his life, 40 years of just herding a load of sheep, suddenly he has an encounter with God at a bush that's burning but never burns out, and God begins to speak to him. I've got to tell you something, right? I've always wanted to hear the voice of God audibly. Now, you know, I've heard the voice in my heart, and over the years I've kind of learned what that looks like, and I've heard it through people speaking to me and through the Word of God. All the ways in which all of us should be seeking the voice of God. But wouldn't you love it if you just heard it like, hey Tim, how you doing? Like physically heard it. Like Abraham's hearing it from the bush. And I've kind of always prayed that prayer. I thought one day I got it. And it was one night, we lived by the New Forest, and it was one night, and I had an evening service that I was going to be speaking at. And I thought, I was still waiting for my word from God. I'm like, God, I just need to know what to preach to these guys tonight. And I thought, I'll head into the forest. And I'll go into the forest and just seek God in the forest. So I drove into the car park, and it was at winter, so it's getting dark quite early, around 4 o'clock. You could see the night coming. I'm thinking, I've got the dog in the back. I'm thinking, I'll walk the dog, and I'll just seek you, Lord, for the sermon in the evening. And I got out of the car and I started walking. Anyway, when it gets dark in the New Forest, it gets a bit spooky. And I'm walking through the darkness in the New Forest going, probably should be getting back. And then this is no word of a lie, I heard a voice. It said, Tim. And I'm like, this is my moment. And it said it again. So you know, sometimes you think there's no one else around, it's pitch black. Tim. And I'm like, wow, I know this bit. I'm getting my shoelaces off because I know the next bit is take off your shoes. It's holy ground. I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Yes, Lord. And I hear the voice again. Tim, come back here, you stupid dog. I'm like, Lord, let's just get this out in the open now. And as I did this dog came running past me and shot off in the opposite direction, and a bloke comes round the corner going, have you seen my dog? Who calls their dog Tim? But I tell you what, right? If that had been God, I would have certainly listened to him. But what we get with Moses is Moses spends the whole of the chapter arguing with God. Like, well, they won't know that I've sent him. And they won't know, you don't understand all my failings. You don't understand that I'm just a shepherd that's looking after a bunch of sheep in the middle of a desert or in the middle of this area. They're not even my sheep. Let's face it, they're my father-in-law's sheep, which is like the ultimate embarrassment. And here I am doing all of this stuff. And you've come with a promise and you've come with a vision. You're telling me you want to use me to go back to Egypt, and that you've heard the cries and the prayers of the people, and that you want me to go back there and lead the people out of Egypt, a whole nation, into a promised land. You want me to do that? Haven't you seen what I've been going through the last 40 years? Haven't you seen my mistakes? Haven't you seen my problems? Haven't you seen my failings? Don't you recognize, don't you notice that I'm just here with a bunch of sheep? There's better people that you can call. And in Genesis 4, God says, no, you don't understand. It's you that I'm speaking to. It's you that I'm calling. It's you that I've put an anointing on in order to go and lead the people out of slavery, out of bondage, into a promise that I've given them. Now, I look at our society and I look at our world. I'm just going to pause the story of Moses for a second. And I want to look at our world. And I want to look at where we're at the moment. And I found something really interesting a number of years ago as I was kind of thinking and praying about what it was. Nearly 10 years ago now, we're in the middle of processing and moving to another church, to pastor a church in Guildford. And I was just seeking God. God, what are you wanting me to be about when it comes to this next church and this next chapter and what you've got for me? And I came across this survey that was done by Tear Fund. And Tear Fund said this, 47% of people, they did a national survey of just random people. And they came to this conclusion, 47% of all people in the UK pray on a regular basis. I thought that was amazing, me. Because I'm like, they certainly don't come to church, 47%. But it said this, 47% of people pray. They may not know who they're praying to, but they pray, and I've seen this begin to work out in society, because often now, instead of people saying, my thoughts are with you, they'll often say, our thoughts and prayers are with you. So we've got people that are praying. People that in our society, in fact, if you look at 47%, you're looking at almost 25 million people in this nation that are praying to God. You know what the most popular prayer is? God, help me. Isn't that amazing? God, help me. There is a nation that is praying. 47% of people in your office statistically pray. 47% of the people in your street statistically pray. I reckon it's maybe even more, because there's 47% had the guts to say, yeah, I pray. I reckon there's another percentage that don't really want to admit to it, but kind of quietly do. So 47% of people you see in a supermarket, you come into contact with, pray. And I kind of thought that was interesting. And then I got a Valentine's card that God spoke about from my wife. And it's always nice to get a Valentine's card from your wife. We've been married for 21 years. I every now and then still get them. And this Valentine's card came through, and my wife presented it to me, and I opened the card, and it said, darling, you are the answer to all of my prayers. Isn't that nice? How many of you like a card like that? I'm like, that's beautiful. I opened it up. It said, you're not what I prayed for, but it looks like you're the answer. And you know what? And I reminded her that God is able to do exceedingly more, obviously, than we can ever ask or think. But you know what? When it comes to people praying in our world around us, when it comes to what they're praying for, let me tell you something. You might not be what they're praying for, but Jesus operating in you and through you is the answer to their prayers. You are the answer. You have been positioned and placed. There is destiny upon your life. You have been positioned and placed in the place where you are in your world to make a difference, to show God, to be an answer to their prayers. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I look at that and think, how on earth am I going to be an answer to prayer? I'm hit with all the things I'm not. I'm not very good at this, and I'm not very good at that. And you may be like Moses in Exodus chapter 3. You may be relating to Moses, and you may be saying, well, actually, I'm not very good at speaking. I'm not very good at talking about God, and I'm not very good at doing this and doing that with people around me. But God does some interesting things with Moses to turn the situation around, because again, he wants to use the natural into the supernatural. And in Genesis 4, it says this, and I'm going to read this bit to you. This is right in the middle of his conversation, Moses' conversation with God. And he said this, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they'll not believe me or listen to my voice. I think it's amazing. He's talking to a burning bush that is speaking to him personally, and he still questions it. But suppose they'll not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they'll say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it onto the ground. And so he cast it onto the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And when the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail, he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, I just want to pause it there for a second. I've got a little rod here, i.e. a walking stick. You're going to have to use your imagination. This looks nothing like a shepherd's crook. It's kind of like the modern 21st century version of it. So use your little bit of imagination, but I'm going to use it as a bit of an illustration. So here is the staff of Moses. And the thing with the staff of Moses, God says this, and God says this to all of us, I believe, today, when it comes to being the answer to all of those prayers in our world, in our place of work, in our community. He always says this: what is in your hand? Now, for Moses, he had something in his hand. He had a rod. And you will have something in your hand. All of you have something in your hand. You have life. That life can look like a whole load of different things. It can look like a job. It can look like family, maybe marriage or kids. Maybe it's other parts or other friends that you might have in your world. Maybe it's a whole load of stuff. It's holidays this time of year. Everyone goes on holidays, and the first thing you get asked when you come back was, how was your holiday? Tomorrow morning, the first thing I can almost guarantee when you walk into the office, the first question you get will get asked is, how was your weekend? That's how it is, isn't it? It's, how was your weekend? You've got to make that conversation. How was your weekend? You've got something in your hand because your weekend is here. You're here on Sunday morning. You've already got something to talk to them about. What is it that's in your hand? I spent 9 years as a police officer over in Hampshire. For most of those years, I was a PP officer, which stands for Prolific and Priority Offender, and working out of the CID office. It was a CID role. And the thing with CID officers is this: they have seen the worst of the worst, and they are cynics deep down. A lot of us police officers used to fight the thought of being a cynic. And with this guy, he sat next to me, and he was an aged policeman. He'd been virtually on the point of retirement. He was literally counting the days to go till retirement came and he could be released and get on with his life from the burden of crime. And he was there, and every time I came in, he would ask the question, how was your weekend? And in the end, he didn't want to ask me how my weekend was, because I'd tell him how great church is. Church is fantastic. It's going amazing. And he looks at you like, church is amazing. The church I see and the church I think about isn't amazing. It's boring. And so it gives you an incredible opportunity to begin to talk about how amazing church is and what a great time you had at church, and perhaps some of the people that came up and shared about how they got healed and just how God was doing some incredible things. It's amazing when you begin to share this with people. It's not preaching at them. It's not trying to be out there and force something upon them. It's just being naturally and open about some of the things that you've experienced over the weekend. I mean, I don't know what you've done over the weekend, but I reckon hearing somebody, how someone's got totally healed, has to be up there in the top five, right? Walk along the beach, had a little bit of a sea, had a barbecue, heard about God healing someone. You know, naturally speaking, you know, you don't have to be huge here, you just have to be real. Just heard an incredible situation. They'd tell you all about it if they saw it in their weekend. It's just being open and just being honest with people. Anyway, I was honest and open with him. I'd come and explain how brilliant my wife was and how much in love with her I was and how I loved being married. And on Monday morning, I'd come in and I'd decide in my heart I'm going to be positive. I'm not naturally, my wife would tell you I am naturally positive, but I often make myself positive. You have that moments when you get up and you have to choose how you're going to be when you go into the office, right? And I got into this habit saying, you know what, when I go into the office, I'm going to choose, I make this choice now, I'm going to choose to be positive. I know it's Monday morning, and I know generally the culture of the office is going to be doom and gloom, but I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to be the light in that office. The more doom and gloom there is, the more opportunity there is for me to come and be positive. And it may annoy them, because doom and gloomy people get totally annoyed by positive people. Just winds them right up. But I thought, you know what, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who God's made me to be. I'm not going to preach at them. I'm not going to tell them every 5 minutes about God and about how they're going to hell. And none of that, rubbish. None of that. Okay. I'm just going to be me. And God, I want you to shine through who I am naturally. I want to build a platform of relationship that I can then speak off of when people ask questions. I want them to be intrigued with me because I'm different. There's something in me that they might like. And so I had this mentality, and I went into the office, and I always remember this guy who literally sat next to me, and I was forever being positive. I was forever saying great things about how the weekend went, how exciting I was for the week to come. If God had done anything during that week, I'd just say, well, this is what's happened to me. This is what's happened to me. And I didn't think, to be honest, all I got was the mick taken out of me, if I'm really honest, like for about 3 years. He said, oh, I bet your weekend's gone. You know, the usual sort of stuff. And I just thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing it, right? We went for his retirement. Eventually he retired. He was counting down the days. Eventually it happened. And I went to his retirement do. And he got up and in front of everybody and he did this little retirement speech. And within the middle of that retirement speech, he said, Tim, I want you to stand up. And I'm like, this is going to be a nightmare. He's been storing all this stuff up for years. I'm just going to get absolutely hammered. So I thought, you know, I'm positive. I thought, stand up with a smile on my face. Here I am. And he said, you know what, Tim? I've looked at your life for the last 3 years. I said, uh-oh. And he said, there's something in you that I want. So I want you to know, you'll probably never hear from me again, never see me again, but I want you to know that I've booked myself onto the next Alpha course. Right, I could have just fallen down there and then, really. Because I'd never experienced that from him. He'd never even mentioned the fact that I thought I was just winding him up the whole time. But it's about using what's in your hand. And I think over the years, that's what God's taught me. It's like, you know, you may not be lots of things, but I'm lots of things in you. And I can show myself through your weakness. I can show yourself through the times when you have good times and when you have difficult times. I've found some of the greatest testimonies have come when my life hasn't been great. But I've told people, I believe that something's going to happen. I believe for a testimony. I believe for a breakthrough. I know that I'm not going through this alone. I know I'm going through this with God. It's at those moments people look at you and think there's something about you that goes beyond the natural of how you should be feeling and what you should be thinking. And for Moses, it was a case of God saying, okay, here's your staff. What is it that is in your hand? What is it that you can use? For Moses, it was a staff, and that staff represented everything about his life. It was a shepherd's crook. It represented so often failure. It represented disappointment. Here he was, 80 years old, still a shepherd. It represented a lot of things that he wasn't, but it also represented a lot of things that he was. That staff would have been used to pull down branches and to provide food for sheep. It would have been used to protect the sheep. It would have been used for him to lean on. It was his life in so many respects. And God says, what have you got? And then he says something else, which I think is really important. He said this, lay it down, throw it onto the floor, let it go. And I believe that represents give it to God. And the moment Moses threw that on the floor, it said this, that the rod became a serpent. It became something that Moses was afraid of. Of course it was, because in Moses' life, as he looked at that, all he saw was failure. All he saw was disappointment. All he saw was broken dreams. All he saw was his life in a place where he never thought it would have been in his early years. All the things that he'd lost, all the things that he'd given up, all the things that hadn't happened that he thought he would happen. And of course it became something that he was afraid of. But God says this, when you give it to me, I'll turn it around for something incredible. And he said this, the third thing that God says to Moses, he says, pick it up. And Moses picks up the staff, and again it becomes a staff for him. But this is the incredible thing, it just wasn't any staff. From that moment on, and when you look at Genesis 4 and you go on to verse 18, and it talks about how Moses took his family, and then in verse 20 it says, then Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them on a donkey. He returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. I think that's incredible. He let it go and it was Moses' rod, full of disappointment. But the moment he picked it up was the moment it became God's rod. And suddenly that rod didn't just lead sheep, it was ready to lead a nation. Suddenly that rod was the rod that was held over the Red Sea and the Red Sea got parted. Suddenly that rod was the rod that was held over a battlefield and against all odds brought victory to the Israelites. That rod was a rod that was used to produce water from a rock. Supernatural things took place from a natural stick that in reality, in a natural way of thinking, was just a shepherd's crook. But yet in the hands of God, it becomes something incredibly powerful. When it comes to your life, you may look at your life and think, well, I haven't got much. All I've got is broken dreams. All I've got is frustration. All I've got is the things that I'm not. But when God looks at your life, and I love the words that have come up over the course of this morning, when God looks at your life, he sees purpose. When God looks at your life, he sees someone that he can use to do incredible things with. But it's just being ready and saying, God, I will use whatever's in my hand. We went a couple of years back and purchased a car. And this is a typical example of this. Because when you're willing to say, God, use whatever's in my hand, it's amazing that he uses it and whether you're ready for it to be used or not. And we went, and myself and Danny went to get a car. It's funny, we looked at three other cars. And every time we tried to go to view a car, something happened. It was around Christmas time. I remember one time the door broke. Literally, we were going out to visit a car, and I pulled the handle down. The handle came off in my hand. It's like the door broke. We couldn't get out of the car, out of the house. So I'm like, right, well, we're not going to go look at that car. Thank you, Lord, for that. The next day, we got out of the house. We went to look at another car. I got out of the house. We pulled the door shut. The vibrations of the door, on top of the door, we had, it was Christmas time, so we had all the Christmas festivities out on the house. We had a reindeer. And I shut this door, and the reindeer randomly just fell off from the top of the door and just kind of smashed everywhere, and the kids were all upset, and it was just like, didn't go anywhere for that one. Eventually, what's that? They were much younger then. This wasn't like last Christmas. They were 19. Thank you, Dan. A few years ago now. Eventually, we got out to this car. It was in Bournemouth, and we were living in Guildford at the time. It was miles away. And we thought, we're going to go and have a look. And we were kind of waiting for the next thing to go wrong on our way. As I say, I'm a positive guy. And eventually, we kind of got there. Now, I'm a nightmare. I'm an absolute nightmare, and Danny will testify this. When somebody's trying to sell me something, I'm a nightmare, okay? Because I just think, I go from the thought that they're just trying to rip me off and work backwards. And so when a salesman comes to me, I'm a salesman's worst nightmare. My wife is just the opposite. Salesmen love my wife, mainly because she'll buy anything. But we love you anyway, and our house is full of loveliness because of it. But we went on this journey. We got to this car. Anyway, I'm giving this guy a bit of a hard grief, and my wife's just like having a chat with him. And the guy's gone through a really tough time in his life, and his son has gone away, and all sorts of things have taken place. Anyway, we like the car. We say, okay, we're going to buy the car. And I tried to haggle a bit with him, because you have to, don't you? And eventually he calls us into the office to say, okay, are we going to just sign this off? Are we going to get it sorted? Anyway, he talks to us about his son. And Danny says, can we pray for him? Me, I'm like, this is just a sales technique. He's trying to get personal with me so that he can close this deal off. Dan's like, can we pray for you? I'm like, it's a sales technique, babe. And it's like, yeah, pray for me. And it's a sales technique, pray for me, and sign on a dotted line. And we prayed for him. And as we prayed for him, the Spirit of God just came in that office. And he just started weeping. His wife came in. They owned the business. His wife came into the office wondering what on earth was going on. I think he thought we were assaulting him or something. And she runs into the office. She gets hit with the Spirit of God. It's just like carnage in God everywhere. And we pray for this guy, and this guy just gets this revelation of God, and it's just an incredible moment. And then I'm driving back from there thinking, man, I need to be totally confident in this car now, because God has just totally used this car. So this is going to be the most reliable car ever. 2 months later, it breaks down, still under warranty. And I'm like, God, please, why? So anyway, I rang him up, and we have this conversation about the car. It takes 3 months for him to fix my car. 3 months. In normal circumstances, it would do my head in. But then God reminded me that over the time of that 3 months, I got to speak to him, I got to counsel him, I got to get him into church, I got to get him to all the things that he needed to go in his journey in God. And this is the thing, when you give your hand to God, when you say, God, I give you everything that I've got, it's amazing how he then uses that, even when you don't want him to use it at times. But it's just having your life and having that place where everything about you says, this is who God is. This is what God has done in me. And building that platform of relationship. And once you have that platform of relationship, you can then speak into people's lives, speak into situations, whether that be your mate that's next to you that gets to speak to you every single day, or whether that be some poor salesman that has someone like me that they're trying to sell a car to. Whatever the situation is, it's saying, God, whatever is in my hand, would you please use it? And watch how God opens doors for you. It's not difficult. I found that. And some people are really gifted when it comes to knocking on doors and doing all that kind of stuff and speaking to it. I'm not. It terrifies me. But what I am is I like to think, and this is what I've tried to be, is someone that says, God, this is who I am. This is all I've got, but when I place it at your feet, you supernaturally use it in ways that I just can't imagine possible. To see people give their lives to you, to see people and situations transformed. When people are going through a difficult time, in your world, all you have to do is, can I pray for you? And watch what happens off the back of that. Amen? I've got loads more stories to share, but I've got to close. But I just want to encourage you. Just be who God's called you to be. Don't try and put any pressure on yourself to be different. Don't try and think you've got to be like this person or like that person. Just be you. But allow God to be shown through you. Be the hands and feet of Christ in your world. Amen. Can I pray for you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I just like to give people an opportunity to come into a relationship with God at every meeting, every time I'm speaking, really. And if maybe you're here this morning and throughout the service you've come and you're like thinking, my goodness, this isn't a God that I know. You've heard the reports of healings. You've heard the praise and the worship, the words that have been spoken out. As I've been speaking about a God who sees you as being so much more than you see yourself as being. Maybe as you've listened to all of this, you're there going, who is this God? I want you to know, he's a God who knows you and loves you. And he gave his son Jesus to come to earth, to pay the price, to pay a sacrifice on the cross for your sin, stuff that's happened in your world and in your life that isn't great. So that no longer has to bind you, it can be released and you can walk into the future and purpose that God has for your life. And it's really easy, it's just a prayer away. And I'm going to say this prayer, and I think it'd be great if we all said it together, but if I'm specifically speaking to you this morning, if you've never given your life to God, or you're in a place where you just want to come back to him, maybe you've walked away for a while, then I want you to say this prayer of all your heart this morning. Dear Lord, I pray today that you come into my life. Forgive my sin. Forgive me for when I got it wrong in the past. I take hold today of everything that Jesus has done for me, and I give my life to you from this day onwards. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm just going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you really quickly to put your hand up and say, you know what, Tim, that was me. I made that commitment. It's just important to have that witness to say, you know what, I stand with you in that one. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Just really quick, just so I can see it. Thank you, Lord. It's great. I got you. Thank you. Is anyone else? Just really quickly. Father, thank you for those that have responded to you today, Lord. Father, thank you. This is the start of an incredible life in you. Father, I thank you for the plans and the purposes you have for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just really quick, one more group of people. Maybe you're here and you're there with the staff. The stuff that represents load of stuff for you. I just believe God's wanting to say to you, I want you to let it go. Maybe it's a bit of unforgiveness. Maybe it's a bit of hurt. Maybe it's other stuff. And God's just saying, would you let it go? Because the moment you let it go is the moment I can use it to do something incredible with. The test, to have a testimony, you've always got to go for a test. Or the only thing you've got is an imony. But it's in the test that God gets glorified. And if that's you this morning, really quickly, if you just want to put your hand up now, I just believe God's just saying, would you just let the stuff go this morning? Got hands going up all over the place. Father, I just pray for every hand that is raised right now. Father, I thank you for what you've placed in their hand. Father, I pray for tests to become testimonies. Father, I pray for their lives to become a shining light for who you are and what you've got for them. Father, as they release it, whatever that is that they need to release, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the moment it's released, Father, would you allow them to pick it up again, but not be something that is natural, but something that is used by you supernaturally. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.